Chapter 31. Rosmarin. On our flight back to Nuwatl, I had been so worried about Kristoff that I had scarcely noticed how fatigued I was. As we walked through the cheering crowds of werewolves and Nargwals, I felt myself stumble and grabbed onto the cart that Kristoff rode in. He smiled and waved at the crowds, but I knew him well enough to know he was deeply concerned about what we had seen in the ruins. So was I. What Zillin had said in the temple was troubling, to say the least, and the crazy sorcerer had released a host of ancient mummies into the world. The djinn had spoken about some kind of spell over the land, and that must have been what Zillin had broken when he had used the jade orb. I hoped Sahar could tell us if the powers she and Jasmina sensed had come from that strange white-haired man, but I felt it was safe to assume so for now. What else could it be? I thought about how he had maliciously laughed at us as he hurled spells toward us. Thinking about his laugh sent a chill up my spine. But there was one victory I could think of. We hadn't come across the blood drake again. But who was this vampire sorcerer? What was the extent of his plans? There were so many questions to answer, but our first line of business was to tell Sophia about the army on her doorstep. I couldn't be sure if Zillin and his hordes were making their way through the jungle in pursuit, but either way, we would have to deal with the army of undead in the ruins if Nuwatl was to be safe. I assumed Sophia had a formidable army, but what I saw when Erwin and I scouted the ruins from the skies truly unnerved me. The Tenochtitlan ruins were a vast network of crumbled buildings, an ancient city that would even rival Nuwatl, and zombies, lichlings, and now mummies filled those ruins to the brim. Horde certainly wasn't the proper term for what I had witnessed. There truly was an army gathered in those ruins, an army controlled by that crazy sorcerer. As the sun rose higher in the sky, we reached the castle hill and began our ascent through the immaculate gardens. Everything here was so peaceful. I wished we could just stay here in these gardens and hide from the horrors of the world. Or, better yet, I imagined myself flying with Kristoff and the council back over the desert, the fields, and the Carwyn Forest, back to Bellator, where all of the past few days' occurrences would be nothing more than a bad dream. Yet again, I reminded myself that if Nuwatl fell, it would only be a matter of time before that army marched its way to Constanta. Jace and Lynx insisted on pulling Kristoff all the way to the castle, but halfway up the hill he climbed out of the cart and assured them he was fine. To be sure, I grabbed his hand for added support. "How are you doing, my love?" I asked him, concerned about his emotional well-being and his physical ailments.
"I'm doing all right."
He gave a nonchalant shrug. "You did great back there, with your powers," I encouraged him.
"I'm surprised I could use them so much,"
he marveled as the breeze tousled his brown hair. I smiled at him. "All your practice is paying off. It is a good thing you listened to Sahar's advice."
"I just wish we knew what all those murals in the temple meant."
Kristoff groaned.
"Don't we all?"
Rachel chimed in as she walked up next to us.
"It's a little unsettling that I could light up the temple."
Kristoff chuckled and scratched the back of his head. I expected Rachel to say something insensitive, but she surprised both of us.
"None of us knew what we would find in those ruins. Whatever it all means, we'll figure it out and stop that sorcerer."
A small smile played at Rachel's red lips as she placed a hand on Kristoff's shoulder. Before anyone could say anything else, we reached the castle steps, and Queen Sophia rushed down them with her purple dress flying behind her like a cape.
"Oh, thank heavens! You've returned!"
she shouted as she raced toward us.
"Are you all right?"
I thought she would try to hug each one of us, and then as I looked at my friends, I realized how dirty and smelly we were.
"We're all right," I said, "but we have a lot to discuss.
Christoph went to the infirmary with Erwin to treat the long scratch across her arm where the mummy grabbed her, while the rest of the council dispersed to their rooms to wash up and rest. Meanwhile, Rachel and I volunteered to speak with Queen Sophia. We followed her through the decorated castle up to a private room. I wanted nothing more than to collapse into a warm bath, but I knew how pressing these matters were. We entered her chambers, and I became even more aware of how disgusting I was, and I tried not to touch anything in the room. She offered us seats, and although I didn't want to get anything dirty, I desperately needed to sit. After she had some golden goblets of blood delivered to us, we began. "I'm just going to cut to the chase," I stated. "The ruins are more than overrun with zombies and lichlings. It's an army if I ever saw one. A vampire sorcerer named Zillin is controlling the army, and he awoke something in the temple. Mummies." The words rushed out of me, and as I finished speaking, Sophia took a long drink of her wine. She gently placed the cup down and then clasped her hands together in front of her. "What would you advise me to do?" she asked. Her question caught me off guard. I assumed she would make a quick decision to send out her army or prepare the city for an attack, but instead she looked to me, a foreigner, for counsel. "Sophia, this is your kingdom. I cannot make these decisions," I protested. She looked at me with her large brown eyes, and for a moment I couldn't read her. But as we stared at each other, I understood what emotion hid in those dark pools. It was fear. I understood that fear all too well, and it was sympathy for her that filled my next words. "I think you should send an army to the ruins. We don't know if the dead are coming here, but if you send out your army, we may be able to surprise them and gain the upper hand."
"I fear we may not have enough warriors, especially if the battle comes to the city."
Sophia looked down at her hands, and I saw something in the queen that I hadn't noticed before. Beneath all of her bravado and elegance hid a deep insecurity. She had called for my counsel, and me, because she had no idea how to handle this situation. From what I remembered, her father had ruled Nuoto for many years, and Sophia had not come to power until after the kingdoms had erected their walls and the city was safe. She had never ruled during times of strife. She was a queen of the summer days, and had never experienced the fierce winters as a ruler. Her innocence and naivete were all too clear to me now. Rachel and I glanced at each other, and I read in my friend's dark eyes that she had seen the same thing. She nodded at me, telling me it was time to take charge. I stood up, walked around the table to Sophia, and knelt down beside her. As I grabbed one of her tanned hands, she trembled slightly. "Sophia, I promise you that while my council and I remain in Nuoto, we will not abandon you," I assured her. "We will fight alongside you, and we will drive the hordes from the ruins, no matter what it takes." Big tears slid down the werewolf queen's cheeks. She wiped them with her free hand, and without a word, she pulled me into a hug.
"Thank you, Rosmarin," she whispered.
After a few more moments spent reassuring Sophia, we left the queen in her room and went to our own chambers to get cleaned up and finally rest. We would reconvene and determine our next plans after my council had fully rested. While I wanted to check on Chris in the infirmary, I knew he was in good hands with Katala watching over him. Besides, he would want me to take care of myself as well. So I returned to the room, and after stripping off my sweat-soaked, dirt-covered clothes, I submerged myself in a warm, bubbly bath. I must have fallen asleep in the soothing water because Christoph startled me awake by gently stroking my hair.
"Sorry. I didn't mean to scare you."
He beamed down at me. "Chris?" I blinked at him. In my tired state, I didn't quite know what was happening. "What time is it? Are you all right?"
"It's just past noon, and I'm fine.
Don't tell Sahar that I said this, but Katala is amazing.
His silly grin warmed me even as I sat in the cool bathwater. I had been asleep in the tub for a few hours, maybe not enough time for me to feel fully rested, but the council needed to have a meeting, so I climbed out of the bath. Kristoff wrapped a plush red towel around me. "How is everyone else?" I asked as I dried myself off.
"Good, I think," he reported. I walked with Erwin back to the rooms, and you know how she is. Always cheery. Or I guess I should say optimistic. Hell, all this even unnerves Airy.
Kristoff followed me from the bathroom into our room and watched me as I dressed in tight blue pants and a white blouse. I wasn't sure where my counsel would fit into Sophia's plans, but given her vulnerable state, I guessed she would leave it to us to decide. And from there, I assumed we would all vote to join the battles, so I elected to wear something I could fight in.
"Shall we call everyone in for a meeting?"
I questioned my mate.
"I'll go tell them."
Kristoff left the room, and in a few minutes he returned with Onyx, and then the rest of the group filed in one by one. After only a moment's deliberation, we decided we might as well include Sophia, Lynx, and Jace, and so our meeting moved outside to the Queen's Garden, where Sophia had lunch waiting for us. The non-vampires immediately dug into the vast spread of food, probably still malnourished from the past few days, and Rachel and I gratefully sipped on our chalices of blood. Jace saw me drinking and winked at me. I laughed at that reminder of the strong bond that had formed between my council and Lynx and Jace. They had proved themselves to be expert navigators and formidable warriors, and I felt like they had become a part of us, especially considering all we had been through together. That led me to think about Jasmina again, and how she had been an integral part of our group in the ruins. I wasn't sure if we had formed a similar bond with the djinn, or if this was due to the mystical promise that she had made with Kristoff. Either way, I was grateful for her help. As we ate, Sophia informed us that she had sent a large force of warriors toward the ruins. Lynx and Jace had met with their commander to show them the routes we took, and then the soldiers marched out into the jungles. It would take them a few days to march to Tenochtitlan, and I hoped they wouldn't run into the horde in the jungles. If the monsters had retreated, maybe Sophia's forces would have the element of surprise. We were all happy to hear the news, because it meant Nahuatl would be safe, at least while the battle raged on. But Sophia still seemed concerned. She tried to appear happy and carefree, but now that I had seen the fall of her facade, I was more aware of her little nervous tics. We were all doing our best to enjoy the meal and the warm sun basking down on us, even as soldiers marched for war. But eventually, it was all too much for me. I reached out and grabbed Sophia's hand.
"Are you doing all right?"
I asked the werewolf queen. She looked at me with a soft, sad smile.
"I fear we do not have enough soldiers. If they lose the battle in Tenochtitlan, we may not have enough to hold them back from the walls."
"But you have a giant city of people."
Onyx questioned the queen.
"Can they not fight?"
Sophia looked down at her plate, her golden veneer faltering again. I squeezed her hand and then answered for her. "This city has known peace for a long time now, unlike Constanta. If you remember, even with all our forces, we still weren't prepared for the hordes, and Nahuatl hasn't had to fight back the zombies for many years." Onyx solemnly nodded as she understood what I was saying, and then she surprised us all with a suggestion.
"I will return to Constanta and bring back an army then. We will help Nahuatl."
I stared at Onyx for a minute, and a renewed admiration grew in me for the Doombringer. Even though she had her doubts about coming all the way south, she still was willing to put her life on the line for others. More so, she was willing and ready to travel the long distance back to Constanta to lead our armies in another battle.
"I'll go with you," Erwin offered. "Between our wings and my expert navigation, we can cut the travel time in half."
Onyx nodded an agreement at Erwin, and then the two women looked at Kristoff and me. They were partly looking at us, their king and queen, for our approval, but I saw the resolve in their eyes and knew I would be hard-pressed to stop them. Kristoff's nod to me only sealed the deal. "All right," I confirmed. "Onyx and Eri, as soon as you're ready, return to Constanta and then come back to us as quickly as you can."
"Before you leave, I would like to speak with you both,"
Zahar commented. I didn't question the sorceress, but I knew whatever she wanted to talk to them about would help their travels in some way. As I looked at Zahar, I remembered what I had wanted to speak to her about. "Zahar, the presence you and Jasmina felt in the temple, was that the sorcerer?"
"No."
She shook her head.
"I think he may have been the one blocking my visions, but even after Zillin worked the mummies, I still felt something. Another oppressive power."
"Wait, so there's something else in that temple?"
Kristoff challenged.
"What else could be there?"
Rachel asked. Sophia pulled her hand out from under mine and placed it underneath her chin. Her brow wrinkled, and she shook her head from side to side.
"No, it can't be,"
she mumbled to herself. "What's wrong?" I asked.
"You said you still felt some power in the temple?"
The werewolf queen questioned Zahar. Zahar nodded, and her golden headpiece sparkled in the sun. She looked at Jasmina next to her, who also nodded.
"It's really just an ancient legend from before the Hordes, but it may explain what you felt,"
Sophia stated.
"Legend speaks of a great beast asleep in the Tenochtitlan ruins. Long ago, the gods trapped the beast under the temple and sealed it with a spell."
"I think Zillin broke that spell,"
Kristoff said sheepishly.
"Right, but only mummies woke up and nothing else,"
Rachel commented.
"Still, Zahar and Jasmina felt something else,"
Onyx added. "So maybe he didn't fully break the spell?" I wondered aloud. That sparked a note of hope around the table as the others nodded.
"What's this beast that supposedly sleeps under Tenochtitlan?"
Erwin asked.
"Its name is Kukulkan, the Great Feathered Serpent. It is said to be the devourer of worlds,"
Sophia stated.
"That's just what we need,"
Kristoff said as he drew his arms up and folded them behind his head.
"Hey, we've fought worse,"
Onyx responded with a shrug of her large shoulders.
"So, let's say this thing really does exist. How would we destroy such a monster?"
Rachel asked. Sophia sighed.
"In the story, only the gods were able to defeat the serpent, and they only succeeded in locking it beneath the ruins."
"All right, so we have an army of zombies, lichlings, mummies, a mad sorcerer, and a giant snake to kill. What are we waiting for?"
Kristoff tried to be humorous, but the weight of what we faced hung over us like a great black cloud. "First, we must prepare the city for an attack, just in case it comes to that," I told Sophia. The werewolf queen nodded, a little more courage shimmering in her eyes. My counsel had that effect on people, especially Kristoff. If anything, we knew how to take a hopeless situation and whether through sheer stupidity, or luck, or something else, we could turn things around. I just hoped our luck would hold.
"We have another matter to discuss,"
Zahar spoke up.
"We must kill Zillin."